trust that the fear of God be upon us this evening. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Feared meaning reverential awe, because he is a holy God. Turn with me to, I want to start this evening by focusing on that holy God. Turn with me to Psalms 89. It just lays the foundation for why we have a service like this. In this psalm, the psalmist praises God for his care of the church. We want to focus on that. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and will build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, and thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who is in the heaven? For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Question. Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. The Lord God of hosts, who is strong like unto thee? Question. Or who is to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, and one that as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with a strong arm, thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong in thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name they shall rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horns shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. That's the one who we want to raise up before us this evening and acknowledge the greatness of the God we are serving, his holiness. He is one who is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. He is our defense. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. This establishes a basis for our message this evening, that we have the right frame of mind in acknowledging God for who he is, and understanding who we are in the presence of this holy God. And that's why we have a service like we have this evening. God is a holy God. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, unto a life of holiness. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might what? Sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's why we're here this evening. God has called this assembly to be a group of people without spot and wrinkle. And we, as we approach the time of communion and think of what Jesus Christ has done for us in the shedding of his blood and through it by his broken body, and what we we think again of what he has done for us, his investment in our lives, in bringing this about that we can experience this, and he received glory from what he has done for us. Isaiah 62:3, thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God, an object of exceeding beauty. I have made a covenant with my chosen, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of thy saints. That's the God we serve. I want to focus on the aspect of we are going to observe a holy communion. Come to a holy table of the Lord. And in light of that seriousness of that understanding who God is, who we are, we want to focus on the fact that what Jesus said in Hebrews 1, but under the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. That's our God. He came, he went to the cross of Calvary because he loves righteousness and he hates iniquity. And we want to open ourselves unreservedly, transparently before him tonight, that he could search our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us. In Amos 7:8, Amos was called, God called to him, and he said, Amos, what do you see? And Amos said, I see the Lord standing there with a plumb line in his hand. By a vertical wall, I see a Lord standing by the wall with a plumb line in his hand. Tonight, the Lord is standing by that wall with a plumb line in his hand. And he is there to bring clear evidence. I trust he's going to bring clear evidence as we go through his word as to where we are in relation to that plumb line. So it's an examination meeting, a careful searching and an inquiry with a view to discover the real state of our life before him. An inspector inspects the house to determine the quality of the structure. Was it built according to the blueprint? An inspector inspects a ship to determine the seaworthiness of the vessel. So let God search our hearts and let us take an introspective look. That introspective look is that we search our own hearts. We stand before an omniscient God. Turn with me to Psalms 139. Nothing is hidden from his view. We're studying the Sunday school lesson of Achan and his transgression, where he tried to cover his sin. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and hast laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. His omniscience now is omnipresence. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be dark light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as a day, and the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. And then it goes down to say, in the last verses, like was quoted already, His cry in response to his knowledge of the omniscience and omnipresence of God was, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Jeremiah 17 says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according as his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I try the reins. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins in my heart." Psalms 26:2. That's why we practice close communion, as we want to bring our people to a pure communion table. It's a command by God, 1 Corinthians 10:21. Turn with me to that passage, 1 Corinthians 10:21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? We cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. We must maintain a pure communion table. 1 Corinthians 5. It addresses the sin that was in the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 5. Said verse 7. "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And then he goes on to say, you are not to company with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must he needs go out of the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or a railer. A railer is one that reviles in a harsh, insolent, and abusive way, using that kind of language. Did you ever hear it? That's a railer. Or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? Them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So communion is a feast in remembrance of what Christ has done for us. And that's why these warnings are given. So we're going to enter into we're going to hang the plumb line of God's word in front of us tonight as we go through different practical aspects of our Christian life and see, brethren, how do we fare? How are we doing? Let's be honest before the Lord. When I think of the search light of God's word, may the Holy Spirit do his work in our hearts. May we open ourselves unreservedly to him. We tend to make a wrong evaluation of ourselves. We tend to protect ourselves. We tend to personal self-deception. It's sort of our nature. Human nature is to, just prop ourselves up when things are or bearing fruit otherwise. I had to think of this. It's a homely illustration, but we awoke in L.A. one night, in the middle of the night, out of a deep sleep, to the thunder of a helicopter's rotors, turning and beating the air above us. And we woke and we walked out, what is going on? And there, this helicopter was circling around the compound there, and he had a strobe light that was going all around the compound, shining, real bright light that you couldn't even look into it. We went and opened the door and stood in the door, and it came sweeping over us, and it shined that strobe light right on us. Did it make you fear and tremble? No, we had no guilt. We weren't fleeing from anyone, but they were searching. And I had to think of, you know, tonight we are under the strobe light of the work of the Holy Spirit through His Word. And we, let's let that strobe light, if there is a condition in our life that reveals, is revealed to us, that is a condition of sin, let's take care of it. To those, when we, in a communion time like this, and of sharing, we can have the assurance of no guilt. We can give a testimony of peace with assurance, because the presence of the Lord is in our heart, and we know the blood has been applied, and we know we are living in victory before our Lord. Our life is demonstrating a pattern of victory. And there we can bear testimony with joy of the peace in our hearts. So, number one, how are we doing in devotional life and prayer life? Do you have communion with God every day? Do you have communion with God every day? That means you sit before you take your Bible and you enter into a time in your secret closet of meditation of the Word, letting them truths penetrate your heart. The Holy Spirit speak to your heart through His Word, either a confirmation of peace or a clear identification of your need before Him. We commune with God in prayer and devotion and meditation. Are we having a devotional life that's alive and inspiring and meeting our spiritual need? David said, in Psalm 119, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, how love of thy law is my meditation all the day. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, even sweeter than honey to my mouth. Thy statutes have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage. Is that your experience? Thy statutes are a song in the house of my pilgrimage. A.W. Tozer said he didn't care for the song "Take Time to Be Holy." From the standpoint, we, you know, just take time. He said, when finally our life is a life of devotion to God, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. But that time set aside of meditation of His Word. How is our devotional life? Are we shortchanging ourselves? I felt when I was younger, struggling with, you know, the discipline of a devotional life. David Burkholder was in our congregation one time preaching, and his message touched my heart, and I felt a sense of burden, and I just asked him later, I said, Brother David, I just feel like I really struggle with my devotional life and you know, being able to get something out of it, and I struggle even to get there, open my Bible and do it. He said, enter into it with deliberation. That was his answer to me. Be disciplined. Enter into it with deliberation. And he said, the blessing will come. Is that what you experience? Yeah, true. He said, I got up tonight. I didn't feel more like preaching than anything. But he said, you could tell after I got into it, I was into it, right? Enter into it with deliberation. God will pour out his blessing upon you for that exercise of discipline, and he will bathe your heart with the truths of his word. Yes. Are you maintaining a live family altar? Not just going through the motions. Fathers, are you leading out in your family altar experience? You have had a communion with God. You have been in touch with God, and you are able to open this word before your family and give them meat in due season. Meet their spiritual need on the level in which they understand, be it little children, wherever. Pray, sing, meditate upon the word, memorize the word, make it come alive. It is a vital experience in the life of the family in building your home. Don't just go through the motions. Are you faithful in church attendance? Where are we in church attendance? It's a command. It's a privilege. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. David goes on to say what the experience was as he wandered into the sanctuary of God and there understood the truth of the wicked's end, understood the truth of his relationship with God. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Is it needful? Yes, it is needful. I appreciated one brother in a different congregation. You know, in harvest season, what he would do? His combines were running, and there was a beautiful harvest evening, and it would have made you feel like just pressing on. He shut it down and went to prayer meeting. You could count on him. Are we that committed to assembling with the saints? Be faithful in church attendance, are we? Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. How do you tell when they walk through a feedlot of cattle which ones are sick? Not hard to tell, is it? The ones that are healthy are up there just at the bunk, just feeding away, and I love to watch that. They're enjoying their feed. The sick, no appetite, sitting back, away from the feeder. So where's your appetite tonight? What has been your appetite? What are you expressing by your appetite? We experience so many rich blessings by the being faithful in church attendance and knowing the blessing of corporately as a group worshiping our Lord in reverence of, in remembrance of the power of his resurrection. Are you faithful? Maybe I should have started here. Are you faithful to your covenants? Your baptismal covenant. Them covenants you made by solemn vow before a holy God, they are recorded in heaven. And this is what you answered in commitment. Are you truly sorry for your past sins? Are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires? And you said, yes. It was recorded in heaven. That will stand before you on the judgment bar when you come to the judgment bar of God, whether you have been faithful or not to that covenant. Recorded in heaven. out Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires, and you say, I am. Do the view promised by the grace of God and the aid of the Holy Spirit to submit yourselves to Christ and his word and to faithfully abide in the same until death. You said, I do. Are you faithful to your marriage vows? You made a covenant in marriage. You said, the question was asked, will you in the presence of God and these witnesses take the sister or the brother by your side to be your wedded husband or wife? Will you love and cherish her, provide and care for her in health and in sickness, in prosperity, in adversity, exercise patience, kindness, and forbearance toward her or him, live with each other in peace as becomes a faithful Christian husband and wife, and forsaking all others, keep yourselves only unto each other as long as you both shall live. You said, I will. It was recorded in heaven. Absolute marital fidelity. You've been brought together as husband and wife, as one flesh. Your heart beats with hers, hers with you, and you live your life. Regardless of what we face as far as circumstances, we are faithful to our covenant. Everything militates against it in our day, and we well know it. The force, the pressure of what's out there on the street, everything militates against it in our day. But God is faithful. Let us be faithful. Oh, the beauty of marital fidelity, the sacredness of that union. Number five. Do you have a bridled or an unbridled tongue? Turn with me to James 3. It's one or the other. James chapter 3. It says, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. That's the power of evil speech. For every kind of beast and bird and serpents and things in the sea are tamed and have been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. We are all created in the similitude of God. From that standpoint, we do not curse someone else because we are created in the similitude of God. And we don't speak evil of our brother. We don't speak evil of any man. It goes on to say, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show it of a good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Okay, the plumb line is set. There is a standard of God's truth. How are we faring? What kind of expression is coming out of our lives? Is it envy, bitterness, strife? This with wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom of God is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let the plumb line of God's word speak to our hearts tonight. God hates a subversive, divisive spirit, one that sows discord among the brethren. Our speech, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may minister grace to the hearer. It may minister grace unto the hearer. Purity, called a life of purity. Personal purity. God, in this vile, wicked, filthy environment that we live in, God's grace is sufficient to live a pure life. Never, never countenance doing something that defiles your vessel. Your vessel is the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does not indwell a vessel. He will not cohabit with sin. Personal purity. Don't pleasure ourselves for personal gratification. Are we maintaining proper personal moral reserve with the opposite gender? Bantering, jesting. Don't fantasize evil. The first line of defense in our Christian life is our thought life. How we're handling our thought life. If we're maintaining a disciplined thought life, it's a first line of defense. It stops there. We don't fantasize evil. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Is it possible, brethren? Sisters? It is. Absolutely. Are we living in victory? Love for the world or love for the church? Are we committing spiritual adultery? Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity against God? Therefore, whosoever is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Frank terms. Are we committing spiritual adultery? Do you like the world's music? Do you like the world's entertainment? Are you drawn into that kind of a net? Materialism, greed, avarice, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare in which drown men in destruction and perdition. Let's go on to the next one. Are you faithfully confessing Christ before men, or are you ashamed? Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. I've failed in this too often. You meet that person and you preconceive a reaction to, okay, shall I broach the subject? Shall I speak to him? Brethren, the power of the gospel, the power to confess unashamedly, or do we turn and have that man's blood on our hands? Do you have a love for the brethren and a love for the fellowship of the church? 1 John 1:19. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've handled with the word of life, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it and shown to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. And these things write you unto you that are joined me before. This then is a message which I have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in it is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. In closing, are you looking for the Lord's return, or aren't you? I trust you are. We are going to keep the communion. We're going to share in this communion experience and with anticipation till he come. Are we living with that in view and anticipating that? May the Lord continue to lead.